So I'm asking you guys if you've been to any of these amusement parks, these theme parks, and gone on some of these crazy rides. Like, for instance, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. From the queue that winds through the Hogwarts school to the innovative robotic arm ride system to the combination of real sets and projected media, everything about the attraction conspires to wholly immerse guests into the world of Harry Potter. It's a remarkable achievement that immediately leapt to the top of the best attractions list. And that's the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal Orlando or Universal Studios Hollywood. Anybody ever been to that? 312-981-7200. Looks cool. The only one, and it's on this list, the only one that I've been on is the classic, the Haunted Mansion. I went to the Haunted Mansion, but this is ridiculous, Dan, how long ago it was. I think it was because we went to Orlando. And Disney World had just opened. Can you see what year Disney World opened? Because I think we went in 72. And I think that was maybe the year or a year after Disney World opened. So Disney World might have opened in either 71 or 72.
71.
So we went, you know, about a little bit of a year after they opened. So it was still new. And they had the "It's a Small World After All." The ride that you go on where you just want to kill yourself halfway through because you have to hear that damn song 75,000 times. They didn't have the Pirates of the Caribbean yet. But this was in the early days of the animatronic. I mean, it was worse than Chuck E. Cheese. When you go through, you know, it was like that. But the Haunted Mansion was cool as hell. I remember going in. I have vivid memories of it. I was only 7 when we went. I don't remember much about the rest of the trip, really, or anything, but I remember the Haunted Mansion because I had the record. There was a record that went along with the Haunted Mansion, and you could follow along, and they had the ghosts that were part of the Haunted Mansion. There was a little short dude and a tall guy, and they were all like different kind of characters, and it was like a storybook record that you would put on. It would have those scary sounds, and it would tell the story of the Haunted Mansion and the ghosts that lived in it, and I listened to it a ton because it was horror-related. You know, it was monster-related, and by the time I was 7, I was already immersed in horror and monsters. So I had the record, and we went to the Haunted Mansion. It was just the coolest thing ever. You go through the mansion, and when you first walk in, you're in like what looks like a big gallery, and all of a sudden the floor and the walls start to stretch, like the portraits get real big. This is what I remember. I don't know if it's changed since then. People, 312-981-7200 if you've been on the Haunted Mansion. So that was the cool, like, oh my God, look at the room is stretching and the pictures are getting bigger. And it was done really well. And you go through different rooms and then you get in on the ride and you're in like a car. And it's almost like a Tilt-A-Whirl car. It's got the hood around it and stuff. Or at least this is what I remember. And we were on the car and you go through the Haunted Mansion. It's really cool and scary stuff is happening. And there's cool, you know, projections and animatronics and stuff. It was awesome. And I remember really loving it. But the best part was the end. Have you never been on this one?
Nope.
Dan, Esmeralda, you've never been on the Haunted Mansion ride?
No.
So this is the coolest part. At the end, you go around, the thing is spinning that you're in. It spins, and then you go and you spin past a mirror, okay? And then you look in the mirror, and one of the ghosts is sitting next to you. Like, you don't see, you know, he's, you know, obviously you don't see him sitting next to you, but when you look in the mirror, he's sitting next to you, like, laughing. Like, everybody got, like, a different ghost, but you end up, like, looking in the mirror and going, ah! Because there's a ghost sitting next to you. Now, I just remember that being I was like 7, and we got out of that. I think we rode it twice in a row. I just was losing my mind. And that's on the list, the Haunted Mansion. So it says, one of the last attractions to have the input of Walt Disney, Haunted Mansion remains a beloved classic must-ride experience. It doesn't so much tell a story as gently scare us and amaze guests with a hodgepodge of wonderful gags, illusions, and effects. And that's still at Disney World. And they actually have one at Disneyland, too. So, all right. Well, I love that. I love the Haunted Mansion. All right. We're talking about great theme park attractions. Which ones have you seen? Some of the new ones, the more modern ones. 312-981-7200. News is next. Welcome back, everybody. So, Dan, what does Puerto Rico think of the Beastie Boys? Do you know?
I'm sure they're big fans.
Doug in Kansas.
More than late work.
Yeah. Doug in Kansas City. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. One artist, two songs. That's Beastie Boys. She's on it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Talk and Text. We're talking about great theme park attractions and all these newfangled ones that are kind of immersive and, you know, sort of like virtual reality, crazy projections that throw you right into these worlds like Harry Potter and all that stuff. And we want to know if you've ever been to any of them and what your reviews are and if they're fun. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. And the pigeons have been flown. And the jet is on its way, and we will have another pop-up video. This is one of the last pop-up videos we're going to be doing before we switch over to For the Record, which will be the new game that Esmeralda and I will be challenged with from Skip Skipley. It's a music related quiz game that deals with videos and songs from the 80s and 90s, which is essentially what pop-up video is. So, yeah, all right. Let's see. Here are some of the other ones that that are considered the 15 best theme park attractions in the U.S. We've already talked about Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. And the Wizarding World of Harry Potter evidently has a bunch of different rides. It's a section of Universal Orlando and Universal Studios in Hollywood. So, like, there's a whole section of the park that's dedicated to to Harry Potter and the whole world of Harry Potter. And I would love to go to that. I mean, because I love Harry Potter. And I think it would be cool. But then there's The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. This is at Islands of Adventure at Universal Orlando. So if you go to Orlando, I mean, do you just, if you go for a week, that would take up all the sort of theme park stuff that you can do. Because you got Disney down there. Right? Is Epcot's down there too, right? Florida? Yeah, Epcot's in Florida. So you got Disney, and then you got Universal. You could be down there for 4 months. This incredible attraction, this is The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. This incredible attraction combines a groundbreaking roving motion-based simulator technology with a 3D film experience to totally immerse riders in the world of Spidey and his arch enemies. The height of park design and creativity, which debuted Spider-Man, borders on mind-altering. Oh, I got to sneeze. Hang on. Wait.
Wow.
Boy. Almost fell off my chair.
That was intense.
Yeah, man. I don't play around. I would go on that. Dan, you would go on a Spider-Man ride, right?
Sure.
You have the 3D film experience. I wonder what archenemies they have. Who would be the archenemies? Would it be
the guy with the arms?
Well, Doc Ock,
mm-hmm.
who was in Spider-Man 2. Was he, Dan, was Doc Ock a very popular villain in the comics?
It was part of a rotation. There was the Sinister Six was the big grouping of...
Oh.
Spider-Man villains, and he was one of the six. So it'd be one of those rotations where every, 4 or 5 months he'd show up.
What about, was Sandman?
Sandman, Green Goblin.
Green Goblin. Yeah. Green Goblin was like the main dude, though, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of why they went Green Goblin when Raimi made the first movie.
Right.
Although Doc Ock was a better villain, I think. Nothing against, Willem Dafoe or anything. Or James Franco. But, Alfred Molina. That's one of the reasons why I love Spider-Man 2 so much. Alfred Molina is so good in it. And then it was Sandman and the horribly handled Venom. Would Venom be one of the arch?
Yep, Venom. And then Electro, which was in that second batch of bad Spider-Man movies.
Oh, God. That was Jamie Foxx, right?
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, that was so bad. It was so bad. So yeah, that would be pretty cool to see to have the Green Goblin flying in your face. That'd be pretty cool. I'm up for that. Next is Avatar: Flight of Passage. Now, I would go on this ride, I suppose, even though I hate the movie, because it's probably cool. I mean, the one good thing that I can say about Avatar is that the special effects in the 3D were good. Like really, really, really good 3D and really good special effects. Everything else about that movie sucked. especially the script, which I've said before, was written by drunk monkeys. Not just monkeys, drunk monkeys wrote that script. It's one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen. Flight of Passage takes the flying theater concept that Disney developed for its Soarin' rides to the next level. Riders not only take wing aboard a banshee to fly above Pandora, they can feel the creature's diaphragms expand and contract as they breathe. Oh, that's pretty cool. It's an utterly convincing, transporting, and ethereal experience. Oh, that's pretty cool. And that's the Pandora, the World of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom. What? It's in the Animal Kingdom part of the... What, you go pet goats, and then you go to Pandora? And they're called banshees that you ride in them? I don't even remember that. Dan, do you remember that they were called banshees?
Oh, I've never seen it.
Oh, you've never seen it? Do you just boycott all of Jim Cameron's movies?
Yes.
Is that? Oh, no. Jim Cameron's movies that are over 3 hours? Is that what you...
He's call him Jim Cameron?
Well, that's what people... I mean, they do call him that. He's referred to as Jim Cameron. He is.
Like buddies?
Just to his friends.
No, to a ton of people. To a ton. He's referred to as Jim Cameron a lot. He is. So
back in the days when Nick and Catherine and Jim were all hanging out together.
That's Kathy.
Cat.
I would never refer to Catherine Bigelow as Cat because I'd be afraid she'd punch me right in the mouth. I've met her too. She's jaw dropping. Esmeralda, jaw droppingly beautiful. She's like 6 feet tall. I got to bring in that picture of me between her and Jamie Lee Curtis. It's just ridiculous. I got to look on my face like I'm a drunk monkey. Because I'm standing between those two women. I'm like, ah, ah. You ever see Avatar, Esmeralda?
God, no. That looks so dumb.
We got the president and vice president of the Cameron haters in the house.
Now I'm trying to think, like, what movies did I like? What did he do?
Terminator. Both Terminators. He did the first two.
So that?
First two Terminators. He did, why am I blanking on James Cameron movies? Not Titanic. Forget. Oh, he did The Abyss with Ed Harris, which I think is a really good movie. He did Aliens. Oh, Aliens is probably the best movie he's made, I would say. Did you see Aliens?
No.
Okay.
You've seen Alien.
Alien, that's Ridley Scott.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Okay. You just don't like Jim Cameron. That's what it is.
As you said, I'm the vice president.
Yeah. Dan, you've seen Aliens, right? I mean, come on. No, come on, don't even pause.
I've seen parts of it.
Game over, man. Bill Paxton, come on. Yeah. Now, you know he's got, how many, does he have like, he's making like 4 Avatar movies, right?
I believe you're correct, yes.
And did you hear him trash Marvel movies? Did you hear Jim Cameron do, did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, he made a big statement about how Marvel movies are are really bad. Really? And you're making 4 Avatar movies? Seriously? Jim?
Were you friends with him when the whole Spider-Man controversy was going down?
Oh, yeah.
He wanted Leo, and it didn't work out.
Didn't work out.
There you go, Esmeralda. You would have seen that, wouldn't you? Leo DiCaprio is Spider-Man in James Cameron's movie.
Cameron would have directed it, and Leo would have played Peter Parker. Peter Parker Posey. He would have played. Parker Posey, by the way, I watched one episode of Lost in Space, the new Lost in Space on Netflix. She's fantastic as Dr. Smith. Fantastic. Esmeralda, did you watch old reruns of Lost in Space?
Not really.
Do you know who Dr. Smith? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Take the boy. Not me. Oh, no. You, robot. That guy?
Yes.
That character in the new Netflix series is played by Parker Posey. And she's awesome in it. They should have a Lost in Space ride. I mean, from the old Lost in Space with the bad special effects and the cheap sets. That's what they should do. You know, they should have rides for crappy movies. Don't you think, Esmeralda? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, really bad special effects. Really really crappy movies.
So well, the ride would coincide with how bad
Yeah, like really, you're surrounded by really terrible special effects and like masks that are half hanging off.
So yeah, I'm sure that would be real popular.
I mean, like the Ed Wood ride. Just take, let's go on the Plan 9 from Outer Space ride, honey. Well, they do have rides for crappy movies. We've been talking about Avatar for 5 minutes, so
there you go.
It's so bad, and it's endless, Esmeralda. It just does not end. I sat in the theater. I'm like, when the hell is this thing going to be over? 2 hours and 40 minutes long. And listen, the new Avengers movie runs over 2.5 hours, but it moves like lightning. I mean, it didn't feel long at all. When it ended, I was like, that's it? It's over? And that's a pretty good sign. When you sit in a movie theater for 2.5 hours, and when the movie ends, you go, oh, man, I wish it were a little longer. That's pretty good. Avatar, 20 minutes in, I'm like, these drunk monkeys do not know how to write. All right. We have to break here. We have weather and we have traffic, and then more of these rides. If you've been on any of these crazy thrill rides, we want to hear what your experiences and your reviews are. 312-981-7200. Yeah. Yeah. Two for Tuesday, everybody. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Doug in Kansas City, Beastie Boys at Shadrach. Yeah, Beasties. Those guys were good. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and we're here until 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran will be standing outside doing his show at 6 o'clock because of the warmer weather. All righty, then. We are talking about theme park rides that are just so crazy now, and we're talking about everybody's hatred for James Cameron. Well, I don't hate all his movies. I just remembered during the break, Dan, that he directed True Lies, which I did not enjoy, except for Jamie Lee Curtis. I enjoyed Jamie Lee Curtis in that movie very much. And Bill Paxton's funny in it. But see, the thing is, Bill Paxton's never not great. The late, great Bill Paxton, everybody, God bless him. He was just unbelievable. He was unbelievable, Bill Paxton. I showed The Terminator about a year ago. I think it was about a year ago. I showed it at my for my film club, and he got applause for his one small scene. Because we wanted to do, you know, because when Paxton died, I was like, well, we have to do a Bill Paxton movie. We couldn't get Alien. We couldn't get Aliens because Covenant was coming out, and they put the kibosh on showing any Alien movies until Covenant came out. And then we couldn't get, I wanted to get Trespass. We couldn't get Trespass, not available. Do you know Trespass?
No.
Esmeralda, you familiar with the movie Trespass?
Mm-mm.
I like to call it the Bills versus the Ices. Because it's Ice-T and Ice Cube, Bill Paxton, and Bill Sadler. It's the Bills versus the Ices. And it's about these two firemen who, when a house is, when a building is burned down, they find a map, which they think is a treasure map. And so they go to this desolate warehouse in East St. Louis, Illinois, and they're going to dig up this treasure. But when they get there, there are some drug dealers led by Ice-T and Ice Cube, and they witness a couple of murders, and then they get trapped inside this warehouse, and all the gangbangers and the drug dealers are trying to kill them. Walter Hill directed it. Warriors, 48 Hours. It's phenomenal. I'm actually quoted on the box. I was quoted on the poster for that movie. I was very, very happy to be quoted because not everybody liked it. See, that's whenever I've been on a few movie boxes and posters and stuff, and that's when they've run out of real critics, and they have to go, oh, there's this idiot in Chicago who liked, that's why I'm on Cabin Boy. That's why I'm on the DVD cover for Cabin Boy. Nobody liked Cabin Boy. I'm the only person on the planet that liked Cabin Boy. I put Trespass on my top 10 list that year. Nobody else on the planet. No, Dave Kerr did. Dave Kerr did. What else am I on? I'm on Hard Target, the Van Damme movie. I'm quoted on that.
Wish Lohan movie.
Mean Girls. Yeah. I'm quoted on Mean Girls. I'm quoted on Army of Darkness. which is weird because everybody loves that movie, and I got a really well. That's because I called it a masterpiece. I'm also quoted on Diary of the Dead. I called that a masterpiece too because it is George Romero. I'm trying to. There's a few more that I'm on. I got to say though, I think Cabin Boy is my proudest achievement. Quoted on Chris Elliott's Cabin Boy. I took a girl to see that movie, and she's like, "What the hell is this?" And I'm like, "Genius." What do you mean? What is this? It's Chris Elliott. It's genius. I broke up with her right after. I was like, I can't go out with somebody who doesn't respect the genius of Chris Elliott.
Like right after, like a car ride home.
The credits were rolling at the end, and I was like, "Did you
so
like?"
So we got to talk.
Did you like it? No. All right. Find your own way home. See ya. Take a bus. All right. They should have a cabin boy ride. That would be outstanding. A cabin boy ride. All right. How about the Pirates of the Caribbean? So they've updated this. I'm hoping they've updated the Pirates of the Caribbean. My guess is that they've updated it after the success of the movies, right? They've had to. So that the animatronic people look like Johnny Depp and Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley. They've had to have done that. Because the Pirates of the Caribbean ride that I went on, they were just looked like generic robots. They must have updated it. Decades after Walt Disney helped design Pirates of the Caribbean, it remains one of the most popular and inventive theme park attractions. It inspired the film series, which in turn inspired revisions of the classic ride. There you go. Among its many highlights, it has a great theme song. The best theme park designation refers to the original California version. As you float by the Blue Bayou restaurant, and it's at the Magic Kingdom, Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom at Disney World. How about the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror? This is at the Hollywood Studios in Disney World. The Tower of Terror really pours on the thrills, but the special effects and storytelling are truly dazzling. The incredible fourth dimension ride sequence, in which the elevator cars move horizontally through a star field, is mind-blowing. Oh, man. How many people, Dan, you think blow weed before they go on that ride?
A lot.
Esmeralda, what do you think? That we could use that.
Tons.
We could use that in Bong Marine.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, now that when Bong Marine is made into a movie, Esmeralda, we get the rights to the theme park ride.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can go in Disney, but
maybe Universal.
Somewhere in Colorado.
Somewhere, yeah. And we'll get Cheech and Chong to provide voices and
maybe some animatronic Cheech and Chong.
Animatronic Cheech and Chongs, animatronic weed that they blow.
Maybe a animated bong.
Yeah, well, the whole submarine is a bong, remember?
Right, but I mean like a little mascot. Like, I'm bongy.
Like he's your guide through the ride?
Exactly.
Hi, everybody, follow me, bongy. Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good idea. Bongi will guide you through this fantastic family thrill ride.
Yeah, with big googly eyes.
Yeah.
You know, no one will notice.
Big googly eyes on a bong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should he be made out of an apple? Should he be like an apple bong?
Oh, I was going to go with the classic.
Just the classic glass bong?
Classic glass bong, yeah. Yes.
Okay. By the way,
that could be his partner. Is a little apple.
Is the I had to make this in my dorm room because
right.
I didn't have my regular bong.
Or just, you know, so a one hitter.
I had to
you
improvise. this is my cousin Apley. So all right, Bongi will be your guide for our theme park ride. You know, I'm trying to think of what other movies and stuff they should make inappropriate rides for. Like, oh, honey, let's go on the Terms of Endearment ride.
I'm amazed they haven't made any horror movie rides, have they?
Yeah, they have. There are a few. like the, I mean, you know, like the Mummy movies. They've got rides for the Mummy movies.
Yeah, but I mean, like
you like really scary movies,
like a Jason or Halloween movie.
I think there's a, Nightmare on Elm Street ride somewhere. I think there's a Nightmare on Elm Street ride somewhere. We'd have to look that up. So, all right, we got a break here, and we're going to talk about more more theme park rides and maybe bat around some ideas. Hey, what movies that are inappropriate for theme rides would you like to see? 312-981-7200. hey, let's make some thrill rides out of these movies. 312-981-7200. All right, news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. It's one artist, two songs. Paul requested a little Cat Stevens. That's Sad Lisa. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. After the 4:30 news, Skip Skipley will be here. And we'll have another challenging edition of Pop-Up Video, which, of course, is the quiz that the game show that we play with Skip Skipley, where Esmeralda and I are quizzed on videos / songs and then pop culture related questions related to those videos / songs. And we each get to sing, and the cats are very excited already. They're outside. And because we're on the 7th floor this morning and not downstairs, Esmeralda, the floating cats have arrived just so they could,
of course,
they could see.
Right.
So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about theme park rides. We were talking a little bit earlier to an expert on theme parks and amusement parks and roller coasters and stuff. And then we started talking about some of the coolest rides and attractions in these theme parks. And that got us to thinking about theme parks or theme rides for movies. And Esmeralda, Dan, Esmeralda and I were discussing off the air how we should have a Darren Aronofsky land. And
man,
this is how sick Esmeralda is. The first one she came up with was Requiem for a Dream. It's like, no thanks, man. The last part of that ride is going to be unbelievably horrible.
Well, the colors, could you imagine?
Yeah. And then I said, well, hell, let's do Mother, because that would be, you know, Esmeralda, you've seen that movie, so that would be a hell of a ride.
Although now I'm thinking just do like It's a Small World type of situation, and but with all the movies.
Visit all his movies.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Black Swan Land. There's going to that one. Yeah. Oh,
you know what,
man.
A good one? This one would maybe be good, but probably traumatize everyone.
What?
Is like a Final Destination ride. Could you imagine?
To Final Destination, right? What do you get? Do you actually get killed on the ride?
No, you know, things that almost come at you.
Oh yeah,
virtual reality stuff would probably
Final Destination ride. Yeah, there's a lot of horror movies that I would like to see as rides. Like they should have, like they should just have a theme park that's all horror movie stuff, don't you think? Well, I mean,
I'm amazed that
I'd go.
Not a thing.
I'd definitely go. I don't know.
I mean, because the closest would be just like haunted houses.
Yeah. Yeah, haunted houses and stuff is the closest. I don't know if for sure, but I really do think that there is a Nightmare on Elm Street theme thing somewhere. Like, you can go see Freddy. So. Okay, here's one, Esmeralda, that clearly I have to go on. It's at Disneyland. In L.A. And it's the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. So I have to go.
Is that because you're going to do some reconnaissance for...
For Bong Marine?
For Bong Marine?
Well, it's also because of my absolute obsession with submarine movies.
Right.
And submarines. Nostalgia-fueled adults adore Disneyland's classic Submarine Voyage and were no doubt thrilled when the mouse brought back the decommissioned ride. But this isn't your grandpa's Disney ride. By incorporating a clever and engaging Finding Nemo overlay, the attraction has a very broad appeal. So there you go. Not only would I enjoy just the submarine experience itself, but Albert Brooks's voice would be there. So that would make me happy. Like, hey, it's Albert Brooks and I'm on a submarine. Two of my favorite things. How about an Indiana Jones adventure? That would be cool. Indiana Jones ride. It's probably been around for a long time, right? That's in Disneyland. Using Disney's innovative and thrilling enhanced motion vehicles, wildly elaborate sets, and stunning effects, Indy is one of Parkdom's crowning achievements. It retells the classic story with a you-are-there immediacy. So they tell the I don't know which one do they tell. There's been four movies.
I think isn't there a big boulder?
Yeah, the boulder's in the first one. It's got to be.
I feel like I've seen that.
Yeah, the boulder like rolls at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if they do the face melting at the end. Like,
yeah.
If they do, like, if they open up the Ark of the Covenant at the end and all the Nazis melt.
Can you imagine they tell you got to close your eyes?
Yeah, yeah. You'd be scared to death not to open your eyes. Oh, man. All right. The Revenge of the Mummy. The Mummy is both a spunky roller coaster and a great dark ride. It incorporates incredible animatronics and special effects like nearly all of Universal's attractions. It includes explosive in-your-face action. Hey, speaking of explosive in-your-face action, isn't Backdraft like a really like popular ride and like the flames come like within 2 feet of you or something? I think if I'm not mistaken, I've never been and I don't know, but if I remember correctly, people talk about how the Backdraft thing at Universal Studios is crazy because like flames come like right to your face. So, did I just find it odd that there's a see now that's an odd ride, Backdraft. What are you making? You're making a theme park ride out of Backdraft? I mean, I realize the flames and stuff are cool, but that movie's not like a theme park movie.
Didn't people die in it?
Oh, yeah.
No, but like main characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
die,
yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah,
very yeah, yeah. Serious,
yes.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an odd thing
it's
to have a ride.
Ron Howard directed. Did you check that door for heat? That's one of the best. That's Kurt Russell, the king.
Although you could also learn from it.
Right.
Because then they would, you know, don't touch the
always check the door. Always mm-hmm. check the door for heat.
Put a wet towel in the
yep.
the bottom of the door.
Okay, you know Kurt Russell. Now there we go. Escape from New York. Or in your case and Dan's case and V's case, Escape from LA. Because that's the only one you're familiar
well,
with.
It'd be two rides,
Escape from New York and Escape from LA. Big Trouble in Little China? That would be a fantastic... Oh! Now, but that seriously would be a great ride. Don't you think, Dan?
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, that like on the level, that would be a fantastic... They should do a theme park ride for Big Trouble in Little China. It only took 25 years for people to appreciate the movie. Yeah, they should have all John Carpenter's The Fog. Go in, can't see anything, get killed. What is he, Halloween? Just tour the house, the Myers house. Then you get to you actually sit in the closet, and as he tears the closet apart, and you poke him in the eye with a wire hanger.
Oh, and that music going as you're walking through. Oh my
da-dun,
gosh!
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's the best, man.
I'd be traumatized.
Oh, it's just the best. What other Carpenter movies? It'd be Ghost of Mars. About 7 people would ride that ride total, like about the amount of people who saw the movie. It's another good movie. Ice Cube's in that one, too. Memoirs of an Invisible Man. Why did I think of that one? Why did I think of that movie? Of all the Carpenter movies that, you know, that are great and that I love, I think I come up with that. Oh, how about this one? The They Live ride. You get to wear the sunglasses and see the aliens.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, let's go, man. That and Big Trouble in Little China and They Live? Those would seriously make great rides. Find out who's an alien and who isn't. Got to put on your secret glasses.
Ooh, and then you have a tour guide, and then you find out he's a bad guy, too.
At the end, mm-hmm. he's revealed to be an alien. But then Rowdy Piper comes out and blows him away with a shotgun. And then you get to get into a 15-minute fight with David Keith. How long is that fight? It was timed, right? The fight scene, and it's like 9 minutes long. You've seen They Live, Esmeralda? Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Okay, there's an extended fight scene that goes on forever between Rowdy Piper and David Keith.
Is that when he says his line?
Or Keith David. When he says what line?
The chewing gum.
No, that's when he goes into the bank. That's when he goes into the bank and just starts blowing aliens
right.
away.
Oh, okay.
He walks in the bank. He's got a shotgun. He just starts. I've come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
It's kind of as far as I've gotten.
Oh, it's the best.
Watching it.
It's so good. It's so good. And it came out in the during the 88 election. It's a very political film. It's very it's very left-leaning, as Carpenter is. And it's not a coincidence that when you look up at the TV, there's a guy making a speech on the TV, and he looked exactly like Dan Quayle, but an alien.
That, I mean, they've been using it as of late as
well. Oh, no, I know. We use it all the time. It's as potent now as it ever been, as it's ever been. That movie is another Carpenter movie way ahead of its time. Like, even politically, it was, you know, it was effective in 88 when it came out. But it's still really effective now. Like, yeah. So that'd be a great ride. We should just design rides for a living. Let's do that. Because these are all great ideas. They're all great ideas. Howard's End. How about Howard's End? The thrill ride.
An Amadeus ride.
Amadeus ride. Yeah. The Howard's End ride, you get to be British and pretentious for an hour.
A dangerous liaison.
Dangerous liaisons ride. You get to have a threesome.
Shakespeare in love. To sit in the round.
Just, yeah. To watch Ben Affleck try and do Shakespeare. That's what the ride consists of. It's like, why am I here? What is Ben Affleck doing? What is that accent?
You could do a Revenant one.
where you get killed by a bear?
Well, you get kind of tussled around by a animatronic bear.
And it's really cold. And you haven't slept in 6 days. All right.
The ride takes 6 days.
The ride takes 6 days, and it's 20 below. It's that cold, and you have no coat. So, the Revenant ride, everybody. It won Leo an Academy Award. He deserved one earlier than that movie. That was one of those gimme ones. You know how it goes, Dan. Where let's just give it to him because he's been good in other movies too.
Right.
All right. We got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then more thrill rides, real and made up. 312-981-7200, and then pop-up video coming up after the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Paul chose some Cat Stevens. That's Where Did the Children Play? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we've got pop-up video coming up. Skip Skipley has been sighted in the area. So he'll be here to host pop-up video and challenge Esmeralda and myself. But we're talking about theme thrill rides from theme parks and what movies are made from or what theme rides are made from these movies. And we were talking about some movies that we think should be made. Speaking of movies that should be made into thrill rides, the most anticipated movie for me this summer is Hereditary, which is this horror movie with Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne, which is getting insane buzz. Like, it's traumatizing people. It comes out June 8th. It's the movie that I'm, without question, most excited about because people are really freaking out over it. Like, every single response that I've heard, every single review says that it is one of the scariest movies that's ever been made, and people have been leaving the theater, been freaking out. And get this, Esmeralda, you heard this story, I think, yesterday. There's an Australian movie theater that played the Hereditary trailer before Peter Rabbit, and families panicked and fled the cinema. Now, I don't know. Have either of you, Dan, have you seen the trailer for Hereditary?
No, thank you.
Okay. Esmeralda, have you?
I have, yeah.
It's scary as hell. And it's weird. And it's crazy. And completely inappropriate to show to a crowd that's there to see Peter Rabbit. So they ran out. Parents were running out. They were covering their kids' faces. They ran outside. They were trying to tell people. And then finally, somebody shut the projector off, and then they gave everybody in the theater free tickets. A24 is the studio that's releasing this movie. And A24 is a small studio who have done remarkable work releasing great movies and great horror movies. Like, they've got a really great run of scary movies that have come from A24. And they're a great studio. The stuff that they're releasing is almost consistently terrific. So they released the thing on their A24 page, Esmeralda, and it says, We at A24 will consider subsidizing their child therapy if needed.
It's very kind of them.
I just think that's fantastic. Because of all the trailers that are inappropriate to show before some family movie, my God. I mean, there's like bodies on fire in it. There's a kid who's sitting in a classroom at one point, starts smashing his face against his desk in front of him, bleeding. There's people crawling on the ceiling. It's nightmare inducing for adults. And here's a bunch of people with their kids going to see Peter Rabbit, then having to bring their kids home like, oh, it's okay, honey. Personally, I think Peter Rabbit's pretty scary. I don't want to hear James Corden's voice coming out of an animated rabbit, CGI rabbit. All right, a couple more of these rides here. How about this one? Transformers the Ride in 3D. That's at Universal Studios Florida and Universal Studios in Hollywood. Using a roving motion-based ride system as Spider-Man, Transformers sends guests into an epic battle to save Earth. It's another in-your-face attraction from Universal. I'd go on that ride. Big stupid robots blowing stuff up. The movies suck, but you'd go on that one, right? Esmeralda, big Transformers running around, knocking stuff over.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. They should have a Rampage ride where you can destroy Chicago. Now, that's because they really destroy the hell out of Chicago in that movie. The last 20 minutes of Rampage is just a bunch of creatures ripping Chicago down. How about Soarin' Around the World? There's no G, it's an apostrophe. Soarin' Around the World. 2016, Disney updated Soarin' Over California with brighter and sharper projectors and new high-resolution digital content. Passengers now take a simulated hang-gliding journey to spots such as the Great Wall of China and Sydney Harbor. And that's at Epcot and Disney California Adventure. I'd probably freak out watching that. Like, if they do a hang-gliding thing, if it's so realistic, I would freak out. Hey, do you guys remember the Pictorium at Great America?
No, that sounds awesome, though.
No.
Oh, man. It preceded IMAX by, I don't know how many years, 30, 40 years, 30-something years. And you would go in, and the screen is, like, you know, the IMAX at Navy Pier is, like, the biggest IMAX screen in the city. It's bigger than that. Like, this Pictorium was bigger. I don't know if it's still there. We should call Marcus. He's always out there. Call LeShock now. But no, the Pictorium, it predated the IMAX by many, 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 many years. And you would go in, and it would be like a 20-minute movie. And it would start out, like, you know, small. And then I remember when it would open up and become gigantic, it was a hot air balloon. So suddenly you're in a hot air, you can see a hot air balloon. And literally, I remember being a kid grabbing onto the seat, thinking I was going to fall. So that's the Pictorium. And I don't know if it's still around or not, but it was very cool. And it was a great thing. It was like, if it was hot out, you could go in there for 20 minutes, freak out over how big the screen was and how realistic it was and how crazy it felt. And then you can cool off for a little while and go back out and get on the log ride. So anyway, the Pictorium. I don't even know if it's still around. So, okay, we got a break here. We got the news coming up next. And then after the news, Skip Skipley is here. He's in the building, and we're going to have a pop-up video contest.